finish 2 John this evening. And we're going to do 2 John, then we'll move right in to 3 John. And by the time I'm done with that, we'll have then taught through the entire New Testament since I've been here. And I've been here a good while. Not all the Old Testament, a large portion of the Old, but not all the Old Testament. So, are you ready back there, tape man? Okay. So, the book of 2 John, and we'll be looking at verses 7 through 13 this evening. And let's go ahead and read that. And again, we'll have a word of prayer. So, you get to 2 John, and verse 7, it says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and they bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and pen, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we've had this opportunity in this place. You've given us a place, Lord, that we can draw aside and worship. We're thankful for these people that have gathered this evening. We're thankful this evening especially for Annie and Cecil that are here. So good. So good to see them with us this evening. We're thankful for that. And Father, we pray now as we move into this preaching part that you would fill me with your Spirit. The Holy Spirit would move throughout the congregation. And that you would bless tonight, that everyone would be attentive to your word, and Lord, that we may leave tonight knowing that we've been blessed because you've been here and your word was preached in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm titled verses 1 through 6, The Christian Walk. You'll remember that was just a few weeks ago, and we showed that the Christian walk is a walk in truth, it's a walk in love, and it's a walk in obedience. And that was the last message. I believe I have that on the site if you haven't heard that. But that was the first message, walk in truth, love, and obedience. Now, verses 7 through verse 13, we entitled that the Christian warning. Because what he's doing in this section is he's warning this woman who's called the elect lady in verse 1. Now, Brother Obi thinks that the word lady, which in the Greek is, I believe it's the word Korea, and that is her proper name. Is Korea, be like elect Korea, which would be her name in the Greek. If you look over in 3 John, look right over the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. So that's a man, whereas the elect lady would be a woman. So, and her household is who she's writing to. Now, seems to be one reason he's writing to her is he stressed the truth in verses 1 through 6, but now he's given a warning in 7 through 13, and the reason seems to be is she seems to be a very godly woman. And back in that day and time, if you was a traveling preacher, they would receive you into their house. You remember Jesus taught the apostles when they went out to, they would enter to somebody's house and they'd say to stay there and eat what's laid before you. You know, they would take the preachers in when they would travel and they'd take care of them. Very hospitable back in this day. So he's going to warn her about receiving in those that bring in false teaching. They shouldn't receive a false teacher. It's what she's going to be teaching her. And that's what our focus is going to be tonight. And we're actually going to give this a different title, Brother Clarence. You'll appreciate that. We're going to title this Dealing with Deceivers. Dealing with Deceivers. And look back at verse 7. For many deceivers. Everybody see that? Many deceivers are entered into the world. Now, that was true 2,000 years ago when this was written. Do you agree? Well, you best agree because it's right there in black and white. Many deceivers are entered into the world. John wrote that 2,000 years ago. Now, if we come all the way down to the day, do you think there's more deceivers today than there was back then? It doesn't even compare as far as that's concerned. The church at this time was really in its infant stage. I mean, it really hadn't time to grow. We've had 2,000 years of not only growth of the true church, but many false churches during this time frame also. So there are many, many deceivers. The Apostle Paul called them in Acts 20, wolves in sheep's clothing. And there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. What's that mean? Well, God's people are referred to as sheep. And, of course, a pastor is supposed to feed the sheep, are they not? Well, there's people that are wolves in sheep's clothing. And they're also at the same time deceivers. So how are we to deal with deceivers? Now, I'm going to give you four needs in this message. And the first need, are you ready for it? In dealing with deceivers, we're going to look at four needs. And here's the first need. Number one, you need to recognize that they are deceivers. I've never seen the like of people that will just up and accept what anybody says without checking it out. Blows me away. If they have a tie around their neck and carry a Bible, everybody's right. If they meet in a building that has church on the front door, it's okay. And nobody checks out the doctrine or the teaching that they teach. There are many deceivers. And a deceiver is an imposter. They appear as ministers of God. They appear seek to appear to duplicate the true church. But in reality, it's not true. And they're an imposter. So that's one of the problems today, is we live in a day when everybody's right. There is no absolute truth. So people just basically, if you just believe that there's a God, you're okay. And we're just like we're a big band that has trumpet players and drum players, and all these different players make up the same band. Well, that's not how it goes. There is deceivers. Now, you almost feel like you got to apologize for saying that. Do I have to apologize for saying that? It says it right here. There are many deceivers, and there's deceivers today. So number one, you need to recognize that they are deceivers. All right? So you wouldn't want to listen to a deceiver, would you? And you need to understand and be able to point out what a deceiver is. That's part of being trained and taught in the Word, is it not? Now let me show you some other passages besides this one that shows you that there's deceivers. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. If you can't find things fast, don't even try. You can write these things down. Look at them. One of the questions you often get is, there's so many different kinds of churches, aren't they? Do you agree? So many different kinds. So who's right? Where did they all come from? Are they all right? Well, no, they're not. The reason why there's so many different kinds is there is deceivers. So then what you have to do is determine, with the direction of the Lord and the study of the Scripture, which one is true. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Watch this now. You mark these verses down and look at them. Notice what it says in verse 13. Such are false apostles. Now, there was true apostles back in this day. Do you agree? True apostles. Peter, James, and John, and Paul, you know, the apostles. But there was also false apostles. There was more false apostles than they were true apostles. As a matter of fact, if you'll remember in the book of Revelation chapter 2, one of the things the Ephesus church did was they tried those that said they were apostles and found them to be liars. So as true as there was true apostles, there was even more false apostles. Now, doesn't it make sense if there would be true apostles that Satan, who is a counterfeiter, would seek to counterfeit the true apostles? He did, and you can see it clearly here. Watch here now. Such are false apostles, verse 14, transforming themselves. Let me see. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers. Does everybody see where it says his ministers? Now, what do you think his ministers look like? Do they carry a pitchfork and have horns here and a pointed tail? Did they walk around and say, and have on the front of them devil's ministers? You know them by their teaching. You know them by their teaching. They teach contradictory message with regard to salvation. Really? So part of dealing with deceivers is you got to realize that they are deceivers. So that should put you on guard to know those that are true and those who are not. It says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers be transformed. Now, the word transformed means to assume the appearance as ministers of righteousness. That means they carry Bibles. They wear suits. They're in buildings called churches. So they assume the same appearance as a true minister and as a true church, but they are not. They are deceivers. And there's more deceivers than they are true. There are more deceivers than they are true. You say, well, Jeff, how do we know you ain't a deceiver? Well, check it out and see. Check me by the book. I give you the scripture and verse every time I preach. Search it and see whether it's so I want you to. Because you should do that with everyone. All right, let's go to Acts chapter 20. I need to show you this to show you how many times this is listed where you're warned about deceivers, false apostles, false ministers. Do we have that today? More so today than even when this was written. Acts chapter 20. Notice what it says. This is Paul, and he's writing to the church, he's preaching to the church of Ephesus pastors. Now, the elders of the church of Ephesus are here, and he's giving them a warning. Now, notice what it says in verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves to all the flock, over which the Holy Spirit hath made you an overseer. That's where you get the word bishop from. To feed, that's where you get the word pastor. Feed the flock which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know, now watch this, folks, that after my departing shall grievous wolves. Now, what's the difference between a wolf and a shepherd? There's a lot of difference between a wolf and a shepherd. There's some that appear to be shepherds, but in reality, they're wolves in what kind of clothing? Wolves in sheep's clothing. And they devour up the flock. Tear up the flock. Watch this now. For I know after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Now, watch this. Verse 30. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverted things, perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, do what? Watch. Be watchful. And remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Did he warn about deceivers? He said he did it night and day with tears because he foresaw what was coming. He saw all these false prophets, false apostles, false ministers, and how they would go in and they would tear churches completely apart. And they'd do it with error. And they'd do it with false teaching. They still do that today, more so today than they even did back then. The problem is people don't recognize that there is deceivers. And we live in this all-inclusive, everybody's right time, so nobody looks for the deceivers. They got a Bible, they're all right. And I'm telling you, we need to take a position of realizing that there's deceivers. That's why this is called the Christian warning. And I'm showing you how to deal with deceivers. And the first point tonight is recognizing that there is deceivers. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I could show you a lot of text, but this will suffice, I think. You'll see my point from it. Did Jesus warn about false teachers? Remember in Matthew 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, beware of false what? Beware of false prophets. They do this, I mean, it's all the same kind of warning. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want you to notice, verses 1 through 4. I'm sorry, let's begin at verse 3. It says, for the time will come when they won't endure sound what? Sound what? Isn't that a dirty word? I thought doctrine was a dirty word. All I ever hear today is we need to get away from doctrine. Word doctrine means what again? Bible teaching. Who do you think spreading this that we need to get away from Bible teaching? Oh, my. I'll let that lay. And I got a whole lot to say about that. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap themselves together teachers, having itching ears." That means teachers that tickle their ears. They tell them what they want to hear, Jack. Tell them that's exactly what they want to hear. I won't preach against sin. I won't preach and make a stand for salvation by grace. They'll tickle their... You've heard of preachers having tickling ears. They adjust their message for the congregation. They're people pleasers. That's what they designed to do. That's what they desire to do. They're people pleasers. I don't go around trying to make anybody mad. I don't try to do that. I try to preach the truth in love. But a minister's job is to preach the message and to live the message. Preach the truth. I'm accountable to Almighty God for what I preach. I have to give an account of what I've done here. I take that so seriously. Not only how I account for what I preach, but how I live. Okay? So it says they'll reap together teachers having itching ears. Verse 4, "And they shall turn away their ears from the what? They'll turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Stories. Not really Bible, just stories. Okay. Is that enough to prove the fact that the Bible not only warns us about such teachers, but it warns us in several places about those that are deceivers? So the first point in the message this evening in dealing with false teachers is you got to realize there is false teachers. You got to recognize there's many deceivers. That's the first thing you need to see. So that means that you need to check out who you listen to. Be careful who you listen to. Be very careful who you listen to. All right, let's go back to our text in the book of 2 John. You got the first need? Recognize there is. Does that set you on alarm? You need to be careful who you listen to. If he's a false teacher, if he peddles a false gospel, don't listen to him. You don't need to listen to him. It causes you a problem. Pull you right in. Some of the deceivers are 10-to-1 better speakers than some of the truths. In front of the true preacher, they can speak. They put on some of the best shows you've ever seen in your life. They're very crafty. They're very crowd-pleasing. They know how to work a crowd. I watch them work a crowd, boy. They can work a crowd. They're showmen. You take a regular minister of God, he's not quite as flamboyant as they are. So that flamboyancy, sometimes people get deceived by that. You preach the truth and depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, not your flamboyancy. All that does is work up the flesh anyhow. So, everybody got number one? You need to recognize there is deceivers. Okay? Number two, what else do you need to do? Not only do you need to recognize there are deceivers, but number two, you need to know the truth. You need to know what the Bible says. Do you agree? You need to know it. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 talks about not being carried away with every wind of doctrine. You know, there's a lot of doctrine, a lot of false doctrine that blows into town. He said, don't be carried away with every wind of false doctrine that blows into town. And you know the best way not to get carried away with false doctrine, don't you? Is to know doctrine. To know Bible teaching. Now, if you're going to know Bible teaching, there's something, the Lord's not going to hit you with a lightning bolt and give it to you. He's not going to go, boom. You understand the Scriptures. It requires work and prayer to understand the Scriptures. Do you agree? It requires time and it requires effort to understand the Scriptures. Number one, you need to come to church to be taught. One of the names of the church, and I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to give you this. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and verse 15. Here's what the church is called in 1 Timothy. "If I tarry long, that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the what? Church. The pillar, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth." You see, the purpose, one of the purposes of the Lord establishing a church is not only to be a place of spreading His gospel, but also being and not only a place of administering His ordinances, but to provide a teaching place for God's people. Jesus established that 2,000 years ago. And with this new place of worship that Jesus established, called the church, he also established an office to go along with the church that would be a teaching person. And that person is who? It's the pastor teacher. The office of pastor is a God-called office. Again, I'm not against going to school. I went to college. I went to Taze Valley Baptist College and graduated in 2 years. Back in my day, we went 4 days a week. And you graduated from school. And I'm glad that we have the school here. But you don't go to school to become a preacher. That's where I disagree with all that goes on today. You got people going to school to become a preacher. You don't go to school to become a preacher. You go to school to become a pharmacist. You go to school to become a doctor. But the preacher is a God-called position. You're separated of that position by the Holy Spirit. For crying out loud, Peter, James, and John never went to the rabbinic schools in their day. Matter of fact, you can read about them in the book of Acts. They went before the Sanhedrin, which was the learned men of their day. And it says they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. But they took note that they had been with Jesus because they knew the Scriptures. They were trained by the greatest teacher that ever walked this planet. And that's still the same way today. God separates men to this particular office. And the Holy Spirit does it. You know what the calling is? You see a big vision in the sky that says preach. That's what it is. No, you have a strong desire to do it. You have a desire to do it. You want to do it. It's a different position. 1 Timothy 3 says, if a man desire the office of a bishop. You see that word in 1 Timothy 3:1. That's the calling, the desire. Not everybody wants to do that. You got to have the desire, but you have to also be qualified according to the qualifications that's listed in this text. Qualifications in 1 Timothy 3. Qualifications in the book of Titus also. God's given qualifications. So, the office of the pastor-teacher has been attached to the church for the purpose of instructing God's people in His Word. Now, is it good to go to school? If you choose the right school, it's good. You better be careful where you go to school at anymore. A lot of these seminaries is so liberal, and you can get sent a good young man or even a young woman there to study more about the Scriptures, and they'll come out more liberal than they will if they went to a secular school. Some of it's horrible. Which goes back to my point. The primary and the best place for the ministry of God's Word is at His house. That's why you need to come. If you want to know the best way from being deceived is to know the truth. Do you agree? So you can when you know the truth, you can recognize error. And where you learn error is when you can discern error is when you know what the truth is. I've always tried to indoctrinate our people. That means to teach them. Teach them about all the doctrines of salvation. Teach them what error is and teach them these things. But you can't teach someone if they're not here. You can't do it. They got to come and hear it taught. Someone's been saved and they come to all the services, they will learn more than someone that doesn't. And they will grow faster than someone that doesn't. It's a proven fact. So you have to come and hear it taught. So you need to come to church. It's the pillar and the ground of the what again? Truth. That's why the Lord established it to be a teaching place. And that's what a church is supposed to. One of the main reasons a church is here is to teach. The Word should be the prevalent part of the services. It should be the main thing. Is it that way anymore? No, it's getting pushed out. I'm telling you, you're pushing the Word right out the door. People have lost their hunger for the Word. I'm telling you, they've lost it. And you know what they've done to overcome that? They've started entertaining people to draw in more people. And all you get is worldliness when you get that. you gather in about 400, and about 2 weeks they'll blow up, and then it'll be 50, and there's no maturity or true growth there. God uses the Word. God uses the Word to save the sinner. God uses the Word to cause growth in the saint. So you, if you're going to keep from being deceived, you need to know the truth, and where you get the truth at is by coming to the house of God. Number two, under the same point, you need to search the Scriptures yourself. Acts 17:11 talks about the Bereans, and it says they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and then they searched the Scriptures themselves to see whether it was so. You need to search it yourself. I said there are some good teachers, but I search and make sure they're right. And then when I see it myself, you know what that gives me? It gives me something. Does anybody know what that is? Personal convictions. That's exactly right. You see it yourself and it gives you convictions. I have convictions about what I believe. I'm not fickle on what I believe. I'm strongly convicted about what I believe. You need to be too. If someone's fickle, you can knock them one down, you can knock them up and one way and down the other. Some people don't never search the Scriptures. That some people believe things because their preacher does. I hope you don't believe things just because I do. Because the next man that gets up here, then you'll believe things just because he does. You know how many people just slide with whatever the preacher believes? No, you need to know. You need to know what the Bible says and believe it because you see it. You see it. See? Because in reality, you're a teacher too. You might not teach behind the pulpit, but you teach your children. You teach people you work with. There'll be people in your family to ask you questions. I mean, so you're also a teacher. You represent the teaching of the church. So you need to be able to, if someone asks you a question, you need to be able to answer it. You don't need to say, well, let me go get Jeff. He'll take care of this for you. No, you need to be able to tell him, here's Scripture. Here's why we do this. Here's why we do that. Here, right here. See what I mean? So if you're going to know the truth, you've got to come to the pillar and the ground of the truth. If you're going to know the truth, you need to search the Scriptures. Those are the two main things you need to do in order to gain knowledge of the truth. It requires some effort on our parts. Okay? 1 John chapter 4, let me give you this one. I'm moving really good tonight as far as getting all this in. You think what I'm telling you is right? Yeah, it's right there. There's many deceivers. They don't wear shirts that says that. They just look like any other type of man of God. But you know them by their teaching. They bring in damnable heresies, the Bible says. And they deceive people. That's that they are deceivers. How many? Many. Many. Number two, you need to know the truth. You know the truth by coming and hearing it taught. You know the truth by searching it yourself. Many people don't know a lot of the truth because he ain't going to hit you the bolt and give it to you. Boom, you got it. You have to study. You have to ask and study. You have to seek, and then you'll find. You got to do all of those things. Number three, you need to expose error. That's another way. You need to expose their error. Now, that's where I get in trouble. Or, you know, it's not a member of our church, but sometimes they might be visitors here, and they say, well, you think you're the only one saved. Or, you shouldn't say anything about any other religion. Well, if there's deceivers, should you not point out a deceiver or not? I mean, isn't that something you should do, or should you just let them deceive? Well, there are certain characteristics that deceivers have. And one of them is listed back in our text, if you go back to our text. One is that they confess that who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That's verse 7. One good example, that's Judaism. Judaism is not a Christian religion. They're not. They deny that Jesus was the Messiah. They're still looking for the Messiah to come. That's an anti-Christ religion. And really, any institution that doesn't teach that salvation is solely through the shed blood of Jesus Christ is an anti-Christ religion. They're not bringing, watch this, look in the next part of the next verse. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? What is the doctrine of Christ? One, the doctrine of Christ is a broad subject, but I'm going to tell you something. One doctrine of Christ is that you're saved by trusting in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is solely the means by which God saves a sinner. And when you bring in baptism, then you have a perverted gospel. And when you bring in your works and add that, then you have a perverted gospel. And who does those things are deceivers. You can't add to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I'll expose that. I will. I've done it many times from this pulpit. I'll do it on the radio, and I have done it on the radio. I'll call false gospel a false gospel. Now, why did I do that? Well, that's because I'm mean. No, it's because people need to recognize if they've trusted a false way. Let me show you something. I want you to turn to the book of Ezekiel chapter 3. I'm going to give you the amount that's only been this past couple months ago. And you remember what Jesus taught us in Matthew 7? It says, Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Remember? And one of the statements, one type of people that is mentioned, it says this, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not casted out demons? Have we not, in your name, done many marvelous works? These are religious people. These were people, we're not talking about Muslims there or Hindus there. We're talking about people that claim to be Christians there. And they're on this broad road. And they say, Lord, in your name, we've done many wonderful. And then what does Jesus say to these people? Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now, would you agree to me tonight that those people on that road were deceived? That means someone taught them that way. So, I may look like I'm gruff and mean sometimes when I preach on these things, but I do them more good than someone that tells them they're all right. If someone's sick and dying, and someone knows they're sick and dying, and they don't tell them that they are or give them the cure for what they have, and they let them die, that person's not their friend. But if someone comes in, you're sick. You're trusting men. If you drink what you're drinking now, it's poison. You need to drink this. This will make you better. That's a person that loves that person. Did everybody see what I'm saying? So, watch this now in the book of Ezekiel chapter 3. Son of man, verse 17, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them a warning from who? Give them a warning from me, he said. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not a warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from the wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I'll require thy hand. You have a responsibility to warn those that are walking in a false way. Now, let me show you one of the reasons why a lot of times people don't listen to you. Are you still with me? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Serving the Lord must not strive. You know what the word strive means? Somebody tell me. Huh? Yeah, quarrel. Nothing ever gets done but quarreling, but two people making themselves look like fools. Even if you know the truth, if you quarrel, all you're going to do is just make the other person mad. You can't ever convince anybody of anything but yelling at them and getting right this far from their nose like Sergeant Carter did Gomer Powell. Don't work. Can't stand for somebody getting my face anyhow, can you? I don't like to be yelled at or hollered at or talked down to. And if you do that, even if you know the truth, if you try to jam it down somebody's throat, they're going to spit it right back at you. It's not going to work. Y'all agree? You got to watch how you talk to people. It says a servant of the Lord must not strive. Well, that's quarrel. You know, I've stopped arguing with people a long time ago. I don't do it. If someone wants to know, I'll tell them. If they want to quarrel, I'm done. I don't do it. Used to love to win an argument. You can win an argument and not convince somebody. I don't care about winning an argument now. I just want to, only if they want, I want to share enough with them, let them think about it and move on. You can tell when somebody wants to know from somebody that wants to argue. Can you? You can tell the difference from someone that wants to know and someone that wants to argue. So the servant of God must not quarrel, but be gentle. Be what? That almost goes against the way a Baptist preacher is sometimes. Be gentle. Yeah, gentle in the way you deal with it. I like when people deal with me about things is to do it gently. That means not to cram it down my throat. Gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Now watch this in verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. There's people that hold to things. You see, they're opposing themselves. They're hurting themselves. But it says to instruct them, Brother David, it says to instruct them in meekness. Now, that means gentleness. That means not in arrogance, not in just puffed up. And I've seen people get red and almost be bumping their chest on someone trying to share God's word with them and wonder why they can't see it. They can't see it. And they won't see it as long as you do it in such a spirit as that. Do you not realize that it takes the Holy Spirit to show anybody anything anyhow? Doesn't it? I mean, who does it take to show you what you know? Didn't it take the Holy Spirit? And you hear teaching, the Holy Spirit opens it up to you and you see it. But I can guarantee if someone gets up, you're not going to listen to them. So that's one reason why a lot of people, times people don't listen. But you have to expose false teaching. You have to expose it. I do it. I do it from the pulpit. I do it on the radio. I do it on the internet. I do it out in the world, and I'll expose it. I'll tell when a church preaches a false gospel. I will. And I have. And I'll continue to do it. That goes against the modern trend, though. But let me ask you a question, folks. Honestly. If you take water baptism and you make it a part of the gospel, is that a false gospel? If you have to be water baptized to be saved, if you make that a part of salvation, is that not a false gospel? It is a false gospel. Did the thief on the cross go to heaven by baptism? He went to heaven by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. He went to heaven because given to him was the righteousness of Christ. So if you add baptism, you're adding something that baptized. Brother Steve was baptized, but he was already saved before he went into water. But if you cause people to trust the water, they're not trusting the blood. I got one. I get letters sometimes from folks that basically accuse me of preaching a false gospel. It's on the radio because I don't preach it. I don't make baptism a requirement of salvation. They like me. They even said they like me. Because I preached that people should live godly. But for a different reason than they teach people should live godly. They live godly, try to keep themselves saved. Plus baptism. That's all false gospel. It's all false gospel. So you got to expose the error. You do it in your preaching. I do this, and that's why I do that. Do that because I care, but also do that so you'll know the difference. So you'll know the difference between them. So you'll be able to recognize it. See? Number four, this is the last one. Now remember what I'm telling you tonight. I've entitled this Dealing with Deceivers. I'm showing you four needs. Number one, you need to recognize there's many deceivers. Number two, you need to know the truth. You know it. You know that by coming and listening to it. And then searching the scriptures to make sure it's right. Okay? And number three, you need to expose the error. That's what people won't do no more. Because it's not popular to do that, really. And it makes you come across as being mean. But you really should do it in a good way because you care. I've told preachers before, you've trusted a false way. you continue trusting in what you're trusting, you're not going to make it. You've got to trust totally in Jesus and His righteousness. If you don't do that, you're not going to make it. I've done it with tears in my eyes before. And they listen. But if they're trusting in themselves, they're not going. It has to be. You know what, folks? I want you to get this. And everybody says everybody says you're saved by Jesus. About every denomination will tell you that. Did you know that? Every one of them will. Mormons will. Jehovah's Witness will. I read one of their books. Jehovah's Witness will too. They'll tell you it's by Jesus. But you know what the difference is, don't you? Is it all Jesus? That's the difference. And I'm going to tell you something, Joe. If it ain't all Jesus, it's not Jesus at all. You add anything to Jesus, it cancels it out and makes it a perverted gospel. That's exactly what it does. If you add the grace, you fall from grace. It's either all of grace or it's not by grace at all. The moment you add anything to grace, you don't have grace no more. So everybody says they believe it's all by Jesus, but it's not all Jesus. They always add something. And I can listen. And I can listen. And I can hear him preach about Jesus, and I'll watch him add something right there. But if you don't do this, you can't really be saved. It's all Jesus, my friends. It's all Him. All Him and His righteousness. Just like the Song of Solid Rock says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You expose the error. Okay, number four, last one. Now this even sounds bad, but I didn't write it. But let's go back to our text and let's wrap this up. Notice what he tells this woman. Remember, he's given, this is the Christian warning. That's the section we're in. And he's addressing the fact that there was deceivers. And notice what he tells her. Here's the fourth need. You need not receive them. Notice what it says in verse 10. If there come any unto you, and they bring not this doctrine. That's the doctrine of Jesus. Doctrine of Christ. And they, it says, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. In other words, you don't receive them. You don't really fool with them. You don't quarrel with them or nothing of that nature. You don't invite them to your house. You don't fool with them. Because they're not bringing the true gospel. They're not bringing the teaching of Christ. You say, I should invite a Jehovah's Witness into my home. Absolutely, you should not do that. Because I'm going to tell you a little something. They're highly trained in what they do. And the average church member, I hate to say, they can usually just absolutely wear them out. Because they are very skilled in what they do. Mormons are the exact same way. Very skilled and trained in what they do. So they go, when they come in there, they're coming there just for a challenge. And they, if you don't know, they can deceive you right into sin and overthrow your faith. I've seen it happen. So what do you do? What's it say to do there? What do you tell her to do? Don't bid them Godspeed. They're not peddling the right gospel. They're not representing the right one. Now, I want to tell you something. The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons are a whipping post. Everybody recognizes them as being false. But I'm telling you, the Mormons add baptism for salvation. Did y'all know that? They do. And works. They do that too. 90% of the mainstream denominations does the same thing too. They're just off the radar screen because that's the only two that people see. They do the exact same thing. So you don't receive them. You wouldn't want to have one behind the pulpit preaching a false gospel, would you? If you don't receive them in your house, you wouldn't receive them into your church either. Anyone's welcome to come in and sit down and listen to God's word. Do you all agree? It's a public assembly. But you better make sure none preaches from the pulpit or teaches God's people those errors. You got to stay away from things like that. So you need not receive them. You say, oh, that means not to mix. No, you can't mix with those that preach a false gospel. It's wrong to do it. It's wrong to do it. It's a festive time. It's Christmas time, isn't it? Thanksgiving time. There'll be Baptist churches that'll have a joint service with a Roman Catholic church. They'll do that. They'll have services together. They'll light their candles and they'll talk about unity and they'll all meet together. That's two different gospels. They preach two different ways of salvation. They're going absolutely against that text. There's no way that you can have fellowship without agreement. You best agree on the gospel. Roman Catholicism, folks, don't preach the same gospel as we do. And this church stands for that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I can assure you that Roman Catholicism doesn't preach that. I can assure you of that. They're trusting their works. I can also assure you that the Mass is not the Lord's Supper. It's not the same thing. The Lord's Supper we do is a memorial service. The Mass is an offering. I've taught you that many times over the years. When you see a crucifix has Jesus on the cross. You ever seen a crucifix? You know what that means? That means every time they have a Mass on Sunday, And the priest repeats the Latin words over the bread and the wafer, that literally becomes his body and blood. And he's being sacrificed again for their sin. I even watched Sister Angelica on TV, one of those shows that she had. And just keep making sure that I'm right. And I even seen the priest hold it up and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Folks, that is an abomination in the eyes of God. Jesus offered himself one time, a once for all sacrifice for a once for all salvation 2,000 years ago. You can't join in with that. That's wrong. And that's peddling a false gospel. And that's telling your people there is no difference. And that's telling the world that there is no difference. And there is a difference. It's all Jesus. It's all by grace. And it's all by faith. And they're not the only ones that does it either. So, I even feel like I've been mean tonight. But I'm telling you the truth. God is my witness, I'm telling you the truth. We don't preach the same message. We don't preach the same message. It's a different gospel. And they're not the only ones that does it. But we're living this happy-go-lucky time. Everybody's right. So, in conclusion, let me wrap it up. This is a Christian warning. He's warning them about deceivers. And I give you four needs. Number one, you need to recognize they are deceivers. Do you? Do you recognize they are? Remember, they don't wear a t-shirt that says deceiver or have horns and a pitchfork. They just look like any other church. Number two, you need to know the truth. If what I told you tonight's not true, don't believe it. But it behooves you to check and make sure what I'm telling you is the truth. I want you to. Number three, you need to expose error. So people will know what error is. They'll recognize it. And then number four, you don't need to receive them. Not into your church as teachers or members. People who come into this church as a member should trust the right gospel. Need to be saved and trust in the right message. And that's salvation by grace through faith. Well, that's what we need to do. That's what each one of us needs to do. It's what this church continues to need to do. All God's people said, let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. Now, that finishes 2 John.